Good day, and welcome to November 2023 trading update. Today's call is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the call over to Richard Menzies-Gow. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Elise, and good morning, everybody. Thanks for taking some time to dial in this morning. I know it's a busy day. Hopefully, you've had a chance to see the trading update we published this morning. My name is Richard Menzies-Gow. I'm the Investor Relations Director, and I'm here with Gareth Wright, our Group Finance Director. Gareth's gonna just give a couple of short comments on the statement, and then we'll jump straight to Q&A straight after that. So, over to you, Gareth.
Thanks, Richard, and as Richard said, good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking the time to join our 10-month trading update call. And yes, I'm gonna run through the highlights of the announcement that we've put out this morning, and then we'll open it up to questions. The key dynamic behind today's market update is the strength of trading and the future bookings since our half-year results in July. And this strong trading across the portfolio drives a further increase in 2023 revenues, operating profit, and cash flow, and gives us confidence regarding our momentum into 2024. As you'll see in the release, our updated 2023 group guidance is for revenue of 3.15 billion+ and operating profit of 840 million pound+. That's an increase up from 3.05 billion and 790 million, respectively, so a 3% increase in revenues and a 6% increase in OP now. It's worth bearing in mind that the updated 2023 OP guidance is now around 20% higher than the OP guidance we gave at the start of the year, reflecting strong trading right across the portfolio. So what's behind that strong trading? Well, I think what we say is we operate in two markets: the B2B market for international B2B events, specialist data and digital services, and the academic market for knowledge makers and research institutions worldwide. And both those markets are in structural growth. In B2B events, we're benefiting from the world going more digital everywhere, constantly, and changing working practices that see people get together less frequently. And the reality is, your Teams calls or your Zoom calls have brought into a sharper focus the value of high-quality, professional, face-to-face interaction of the source that you get at our B2B events, particularly if you're launching new products, you're negotiating contracts, or you're building relationships. That's a lot harder to do virtually than it is face-to-face. In our academic markets, structural growth in original research and specialist knowledge, combined with the power of our specialist brands and a growing range of open research services, is accelerating growth, revenue growth in that market. We're the market leader in many areas of our specialization. We're good at it, and we're getting better with technology and data through the IIRIS platform we've built, meaning our products today are better than they were pre-COVID, and we think they'll be better again in 3 years' time. So in both markets, this is driving more value to our customers, and this speaks to our ability to drive further growth in the future. There are also other dynamics behind the trading. Our international breadth is key, with today's guidance upgrade, particularly benefiting from the performance in the U.S., the Middle East, China, and Hong Kong since the half year. We've got a great range of specialist products and services that are deeply embedded within our customer markets and are being improved by continual operational capital investment, primarily through technology and data. And finally, our focus on growing specialist B2B and academic market products rather than B2C market products is providing resilience and strength and giving us confidence around our outlook into 2024. We're quietly confident about that outlook, despite, you know, uncertain economic and geopolitical background in certain areas of the globe. We're not seeing a particular impact on our business. We continue to take a disciplined approach to capital allocation, balancing strong returns to shareholders, organic investment, and targeted acquisitions. Today, we've announced a 150 million pound extension to our share buyback program, enabled by the strength of our balance sheet and the strength of our cash flows. We've bought back around about 1 billion pounds worth of value of shares since the divestment of Informa Intelligence. As we think our shares are good value, our cash flows are strong and our balance sheet are strong, we're extending that program. This leaves us with the flexibility to use our cash flows and balance sheets to build and buy further scale going forward. This year, we've redeployed over 1 billion pounds worth of Informa Intelligence proceeds, but with leverage expected to be 1.3 times at year-end, we still have plenty of capacity to deliver further growth. So I think those are the key messages from the trading update that we've issued to the markets this morning, and I'm going to hand it back to Elise to take any questions that you may have on the call.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We will take our first questions from Steve. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Morning. I think that's me, Steve Lichty from Numis. I've got three, please. Morning. One is, you kind of mentioned it earlier on in terms of confidence in forward bookings, but can you give us any more detail in terms of forward booking trends for next year? Anything you can give us, I guess, there. So that's the first question. The second thing is, again, thinking about 2024, if your longer-term target is 5% organic growth, are you still going to be thinking you're going to get above that in 24 on a normalized basis, you know, as things get back to, you know, wherever they might get to, or is 5% probably more realistic? Second question. And then third question is there actually any weakness in events anywhere that you can reference? I know you talk very positively across the board, but anywhere where cracks are beginning to appear for any reason would be helpful. Thank you.
Okay, well, maybe taking those in reverse order. I think the trading performance across the year has been very strong. You know, if you look at our major event brands, you know, there's all the event brands are basically on or above the budget we set for them for the year, which I think is indicative of, you know, a consistent performance across the brands. And then when you throw in areas of expansion like the Saudi business, which is really an organic startup this year that's grown very quickly, you know, I think it gives us, you know, real confidence in the structural growth in the products that I talked to in my opening speech. And there's no particular area, I'd say, where we're concerned about the performance in 23 versus where we started the year. You know, really, in overview, everything's, you know, proven, you know, very positive and very you know, good in terms of its performance. In terms of 24, I think we'd say, you know, we will be above 5%, I think would be our view from where we stand at the moment. You know, I think we're, you know, still enjoying, you know, good growth in the markets. As we said in the release, you know, really almost all the areas of the business are above 2019 levels of trading. The only one that would be close is probably Hong Kong, which might be around it. China as a whole is definitely well ahead. So it's not about sort of recovery growth now, it's strong, you know, structural growth in the products and in the business overall, but we would look to be above the 5% average in 24, and that growth algorithm that we outlined at the half year is still how we're thinking about the business in the longer term. And then forward bookings into 24, I think we'd say, you know, we're you know, pleased with the way it's looking. You know, different shows book in different ways on a forward cycle, but the shows where we'd expect to see bookings, you know, are booking up well. And, you know, we'd see overall, if you look at between our events businesses and our subscription business and our advanced paid for services, you know, we'd say we can see, you know, around about £1 billion worth of 24 revenue already from where we stand now.
Steve, just to add to Gareth, I mean, on the 5% number, you're right, sort of, it was sort of our framework of long-term guide. I think there was a plus in there, and as you'll know, covering us for a while, pluses are important in the way we guide. So I think we said 5% plus, and as Gareth said, I think going into next year, given what we can see and what's secured already, I think definitely we'll be in plus territory.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
We will take our next questions from James Tett, Goldman Sachs. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. It's James Tate from Goldman Sachs. I think two questions, please. So firstly, and you just mentioned there, you've secured around 1 billion in revenue year to date from advanced bookings. How does that compare versus last year, if you sort of exclude the acquisitions you've done, and sort of just to understand what's the underlying growth you've seen there? And then secondly, you've sort of upgraded margin guidance for the full year. Does that mean, does it make comps tougher for next year? Can you still grow margin? And could you help us with some of the moving parts with sort of the biennial events in Tarsus and investment in HIMSS, and what the sort of underlying margin improvement could look like? I think consensus is around 2 percentage points for 2024. Do you think you can still achieve that? Thank you.
Thanks, James. Yeah, I mean, look, in terms of the growth in forward bookings, I think we would say that it's, you know, consistent with the growth that we have, that we've got in consensus. I think it's consistent with the growth outlook for the business that we're talking about. I think what we're really trying to say there, is that, you know, at this point, the forward visibility of the business is good. And, you know, we're getting lots of questions from, you know, fund managers, et cetera, around, you know, the forward outlook. And, you know, people are concerned about recessions, or they're concerned about geopolitical or macro risk, you know, in the global markets. And what we're saying there really is, look, we're not seeing any of those particular headwinds, as we stand at the moment. So that's really what we're trying to give assurance of around that number. In terms of the margin, you're right that the margin has ticked up a bit in 2023. And you know, we still expect it to tick up again in 2024. We talked at the start of the year or middle of the year around an evolution over time of being around about a 26% margin in 2023, then 28% in 2024, and looking to get to sort of circa 30%, you know, in the, you know, medium term. And that's what we would still broadly commit to as a shape. You're right that we're slightly ahead of where we thought we would be in 2023, and therefore still, you know, commit to the sort of, you know, circa 28% for 2024, rather than a 2 percentage point increase, because some of that benefit in, you know, 2023 is areas like China and Hong Kong have just traded better in the year than we thought they would. So there's plenty of other moving parts in the margin that we can dig into. But overall, I think the key message we want to give is that we do see another acceleration in 2024, and we're still, you know, focusing on the longer-term target of circa 30% in the medium term, and that's 30% alongside the 5%+ revenue growth that we talked to in the answer to Steve's questions.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
We will take our next questions from Carl Murdock-Smith. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much. It's Carl from Berenberg. Two from me. First, can we have an update on the difficulties you talked about at H1 in the tech industry? So you talked about digital media marketing services and lead generation revenues being in decline at H1. Can you provide an update on that? And then secondly, just in terms of the pedant's question around the financials. So at H1, you talked about interest costs of around £30 million for the full year. You talked about an effective tax rate of 19% and minority interest costs of between £45 and £50 million. Are you still comfortable with those comments at H1, or any evolution to those? Thank you.
Okay, well, in terms of the technology market, you know, what we'd say there is, yeah, you're right, that has been one of the tougher end markets that we've traded into this year. But, you know, I think our performance of the bits of our business has been, you know, pretty good, actually, when you look at some of the comps out there in the market. The events business has traded well in that space, and I've seen, you know, good recovery. In particular areas like Black Hat in the US and Game Developer Conference earlier in the year. And the events seem, you know, to come back well, both in terms of delegates and specs, which again, I think, speaks to the structural growth of the events products that we spoke about in the opening, you know, introduction. The research products in that area have been sort of solid, you know, mid-single-digit growth. And, you know, good retention rates in terms of subscriptions, and you continue to grow well. And I think there is, you know, more opportunity for that business, that part of the business to grow going forward. And then in terms of sort of the audience development, digital demand generation area, which is the bit of our business that's been more challenged by the slowing of the technology end market, that has seen a small decline year on year, but as I say, better than most of the peers that we can see in that market, if not better than all of them actually, in terms of the performance. So that gives us confidence around the fact that the product is good and that there is a good opportunity to grow that going forward. And I would expect the technology market to be back in structural growth in the short to medium term going forward. And therefore, our place in that industry, our positioning in that industry, I think will serve us well going forward. I think it's a good market. And as I said, we have no particular concerns about our products. And indeed, we've continued to develop them during 2023. So if you look at something like Industry Dive, before we acquired it, that would normally do about four dives a year as new launches. This year it's going to do, double that. And again, that speaks to the fact that we're getting more product out into the market. And I think we're well positioned for recovery there, which I think really will come. I don't think it's a kind of if, I think it's a when. And therefore, I think we're pleased about our position in that business. On the what you described as pedant financial questions, I've never described them as pedant questions.
I might.
You might, yeah, exactly, yeah. I'm not sure which ones particularly we want to highlight. I know there's some ones like tax you mentioned. Yeah, that's still 19%, I think. One thing I would mention is non-controlling interests. I know in some of the consensus numbers that looks a little bit light because our NCI numbers in places like Curinos in China, as it performs better, and in Saudi as well, those are a bit stronger. And I think, again, in 2024, they'll be stronger again. So I think that's an area probably to look at in terms of modeling to make sure you've got that in the right place for both 23 and 24.
I think you mentioned 45 to 50, Carl, on minorities that Gareth's talking about. I mean, I think for this year, that's broadly
23, that's fine, yeah.
Gareth says you'd expect that to step up again because those three areas are growing pretty strongly. So you'd expect to see that step up again next year. I think the other one was just the interest you mentioned. I think you said around 30 for this year. Maybe a bit better than that, I think, because we've outperformed a bit and cash flow strong. So that probably is an area where we'd expect a bit of a better outcome or a lower number in 23.
That's fantastic. Thanks very much. And just to be clear, when I say pedants, I mean it definitely as a compliment in my vernacular. Thank you.
Cheers, Carl.
Thank you. We will take the next questions from Nick Dempsey. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, guys. I've got three questions. So first of all, just on your free cash flow guidance of 575 million plus, I think consensus is some way over 600. Can you maybe talk about the difference here? Were we all too optimistic on the change in working capital? And if so, what's driving that? And what is cash tax perhaps higher? That's the other area that I think might possibly be the difference. Second question, pricing in events into 2024. I guess Relic had talked about 5% at one point. Kind of industry feeling is some sort of mid-single digit number. So are you seeing that as well, sort of mid-single digit across the board on average of price increases for events into 2024? And the third question, been getting a number of questions on the Middle East, as I'm sure you have. Can you just give us some indications of how Dubai and Saudi shows have been resilient in the past to conflicts in the wider region?
Okay, well, a few different themes in there. I'll kick off, and I'm sure Rich will come in. Yeah, on free cash flow, as you say, we've upgraded the number to 575 plus in terms of our update going out today. Yes, an increase over where we were at the half year. But definitely you're seeing in the working capital line, particularly in sort of China and a bit in Hong Kong, as those events recover, we're using roll forward deposits, particularly in China, because we thought that market was going to trade in 2022, particularly the second half of the year. Then at the last minute, it didn't. and we had quite a lot of receipts in the balance sheet at the end of that year, which we've rolled forward to this year's show. So that's coming through in the OP and the revenue as we're trading, but a bit less in the cash flow because the receipts were kind of already in the balance sheet. In terms of, you know, some of the other numbers, you know, I think, you know, tax is a bit, will be going up a bit year on year. I'm not sure sort of what numbers out there, but, you know, somewhere around sort of, you know, 130, 140 or something for tax is definitely a higher number than in 22 because the profitability of the business has gone up as it's recovered from COVID. So that would be a number to look at. Interest, as we touched on, is a you know, lower number in 23 because of the lower levels of debt that we're carrying. But overall, you know, that gives us, you know, a number around 575, but as Richard touched on earlier, you always got to watch the pluses in our announcement. So that's definitely a 575 plus.
Would you like to talk on pricing?
Yeah, you want to go pricing?
Yeah. I mean, look, Nick, you know, we always talk about price to value, and I think the thing that we are excited about in our business is that our product today is better than it was in 2019. You know, technology and data are allowing us to get a better product that gives more value to exhibitors, more value to attendees, and in 3 years it'll be better again. We can see that roadmap. That allows you to price to value. And so for a customer, you feel like you're getting more out of the product and you can price to that. And so I think that gives us confidence over the next few years of how that value can materialize. Specifically on numbers, we tend not to allude to, but I think that where you talked about, I think we feel, you know, confident of it at least being around those sort of levels. So I think other commentary in the market would be sort of consistent. But I think for us, the focus is on how do we drive a better experience for attendees, you know, more value for exhibitors, use our data to really help them spend the right time with the right people, match buyers and sellers better, allow them to access contact at point of sale to really drive, you know, more value for them from the time they spend with us. And that, I think, we're pretty excited about, not just next year, but over the next 3 to 5 years.
And then on the Middle East question, yeah, I think you're right in that, you know, Saudi Arabia and Dubai or the United Arab Emirates are the two key areas to talk about there. And we operate events across the region in places like Bahrain, Egypt, Qatar, Turkey, but really Saudi and UAE are the two material areas, which between them probably generate about 75% of our revenue from that region. And, you know, as you kind of allude to in your question, I mean, they have traded robustly through periods of crisis in the past. They're not sort of casual about it. They watch the happenings in the region with appropriate sensitivity and concern. But their view is that, you know, business is business and we'll keep trading, you know, through the period, through the concerns. And that's certainly what we're seeing at the moment. We're operating a number of shows in Dubai, in Turkey, in Saudi this week, actually. And, you know, they're all going ahead with appropriate sort of security arrangements and appropriate management, you know, of the situation. But they're all proceeding. Yeah, say across Dubai, Bahrain, Saudi, Turkey, Abu Dhabi, they're all happening this week. So I think that shows that the region is still trading and gives us confidence about the ability to trade through the next couple of months.
Sorry, just a quick follow-up. The Dubai Air Show, I think, is now, is it? Or is it yep. The first day today? No issue at all with that one. I know it's a big one.
Yeah, that's a big one. You're right. That was one of the ones we acquired with Tarsus. No, it looks like it's running for a good addition. I think it actually opened yesterday, technically. So it is actually it's up and running. And, you know, we made the appropriate, you know, security measures, et cetera, around it, but nothing particularly in terms of the trading on that. I think it'll be a good addition of the show and good to get that one operated under our belt in our first year of ownership. As you say, it's a big show and a key one in the ex-Tarsus portfolio.
As an aside, Nick, I mean, the headlines coming out of it, I mean, you know, record commercial airline orders. I mean, the industry itself, I think, interestingly, just bouncing back very strongly sort of post-COVID. You can see that in the the level of orders that seem to be coming out of it. As Gareth said, it's super busy there.
Brilliant. Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Cheers, Nick.
We will take our next questions from Sami Kassab. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. Two questions, if I may, please. Within the 5% plus growth algorithm, could you outline how much you would expect from the launches of new shows versus pricing versus volumes, please? And secondly, will you continue to benefit from the Hong Kong government subsidies for venue costs in 2024? Thank you.
Yes, Sammy. Look, I'd say materially in the 5% plus growth, really that's about volume, it's about growth in the markets we serve, and it's about, you know, pricing and how the increasing value of our products, you know, translates into pricing conversations with our customers. I mean, we do launches, but the Saudi Arabia launches are, I'd say, you know, a bit more of a, you know, anomaly rather than the norm. I mean, just the scale of those launches and how quickly they've got to scale has been unusual. So there'll be a bit of, you know, Saudi Arabian growth in the numbers, but generally launches are a much smaller scale. And certainly in the materiality of our numbers, it's materially going to be about volumes, pricing, new products and services, and structural growth rather than about launches in specific markets.
And on the subsidies, Sammy, I mean, you're right. We definitely benefited from that this year. I think I'm right in saying there will be some benefit flowing into next year, maybe not quite the same level. I think our view has been you want to lean into that and reinvest some of that to really, you know, maximize the experience for your attendees and you know, drive better retention, better volumes in terms of sort of numbers. So, I mean, you're right in that there will still be, I think, some benefit through to next year, although not the same amount, but we'll look to use that, I think, and just to sort of invest behind the product.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. It appears there are no further questions at this time.
Great. Well, thanks very much, Elise, and thanks to everyone listening. I'm sure there'll be lots of other questions in follow-up, so don't hesitate to get in touch. Either myself or Gareth are around all day if you want to have a conversation. But thanks for dialing in and speak to everyone soon.
Thanks, everyone.
This concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.